Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the February 14th, 2022 Five Aces Coaching Call. Now, suppose you woke up one day and discovered that most of the things you counted on being true were not. For most of us in energy work, this realization has come to us over a period of time. So when we discover another lie or a half-truth, it's not a big deal. But if it happened all at once, it would have shaken us to the core. Maybe that's what's happening to our society all around us. For me, I discovered that when some so-called expert was quoting Army regulations at me, he was most likely making them up. And that's when I learned that if I knew the regulation, I could easily shut him down. And even if I didn't know it, I could make them up just as easily as the next guy. When I sold vacuum cleaners door-to-door, it didn't take long before I realized it wasn't the quality of the vacuum that made the difference, but simply how often it was used. When Mom was sick, I learned the doctors knew very little about nutrition and had no interest in learning it either, even if it meant their patients would suffer and die. Corporations have only one loyalty, and that's to the shareholders. And further, they'll sacrifice their shareholders in an instant in order to enrich the officers and the board of directors. And government employees see that their best chance at longevity in government work is to support whatever their bosses want. Politicians seem to be some of the lowest forms of life forms and have not been known to have any real convictions except for immediate self-interest. And even the religion that my ancestors practiced turns out to have been assembled by self-serving politicians and remanufactured again and again throughout history as circumstances changed. If I counted on any of these institutions or experts, I would be severely and repeatedly disappointed. I do not, so I am not. In our current pandemic, we can be assured that anything a politician says is self-serving, no more than a half-truth, and most likely an outright lie. And our health experts conveniently ignore the history of communicable diseases and virology. No one mentions that Louis Pasteur's results with these vaccines were fabricated. His own lab notes documented that fraud. So the very foundation of modern vaccine research is built on self-serving fabrications. The historical correlations between electromagnetic pollution and public health are cast aside. Even the basic truths we were taught about disease have been ignored this time. In Iowa, there's evidence of massive COVID infection in deer, but no one is questioning how that could be. First, how is it getting from humans to deer? Second, how are deer even susceptible to an infection found in humans? Swine are much closer genetically to humans, come in much closer contact, but don't seem to have the COVID. And if this is the first time you caught government and industry lying about current events, I suppose it would be upsetting. Institutions lying to us is a tradition that's embedded in the Bible, but we don't have to go back that many years to see that we've been manipulated. The U.S. government used sodium fluoride in the water of German POWs to make them docile. Sodium fluoride is a waste product of aluminum manufacture. Now it's in nearly every toothpaste and pushed by nearly all dentists. American companies sold the Nazis the poisons they used in their extermination camps. After the war, these companies continued to prosper, and if you have aspirin on your shelf, it's likely made by one of these companies. The Nazi war machine ran on Ford trucks. And a final push into Germany at the end of World War II was delayed so that a large shipment of Rothschild gold could be evacuated so it wouldn't fall into the hands of the American Army. The attack on Pearl Harbor taking us into World War II was notable that in the first time in the history of the Navy, all the bulkhead doors in the battleships were left open for an upcoming inspection. That was against all regulation, but the order came from top Navy brass. The sinking of the Lusitania was billed as a war crime so we could be pulled into World War I. It turns out she was carrying ammunition, and somehow the Germans found out, almost as if it was planned so that there would be an incident that would enrage the Americans enough to bring us into the war. The Gulf of Tonkin incident took us into the Vietnam War. That was a false flag operation. And engineers from around the world have concluded that the Twin Towers came down due to controlled demolition. There were no weapons of mass destruction, and the axis of evil countries, including Iran, Iraq, Libya, and Venezuela, were all working to replace the petrodollar. Maybe that was the real evil. What makes this all more fun is when these lies are exposed, they are countered with the charge of being conspiracy theories. The thing is, the truth will come out eventually. Just like when they found the wreckage of the Titanic and found proof it was most likely the Britannic lying in that icy grave. And until the Twin Towers came down, the Titanic was the largest insurance fraud ever perpetrated. As our frequency and energy increases, more and more truths come out. It's neither conspiracy nor paranoia to simply assume that what we have been taught is no more than half-truth at best, and that's part of growing up. Where once we relied upon the experts and outsiders, the time has come to rely upon ourselves. There is no Santa Claus, no Easter Bunny, and no one's coming to save us. We're on our own to either learn these lessons or fail. Taking back our power means we have to use and trust our intuition. It means that the experts around us are here to advise and support, but the final decision as to our best course of action must remain with us. We used to give away our power to these people, but as we learn and grow, we see that our best interests and the best interests of those so-called experts may not coincide. No one cares more about you and your loved ones than you. And that includes all the experts and professionals and the doctors and the advisors, and that includes me as well. Taking back our power goes hand in hand with taking responsibility. When the final decision is ours, the results we achieve are ours as well, likewise the failures. To some, that's terrifying, and to others, not so much. And in our work, we find ourselves accepting these truths as just a matter of course. Because we are seeing the world and the things we have been taught with a new perspective, it allows us to see beauty in places we couldn't before. When you strip away the half-truths and the untruths, what remains is often inspiring. Until our frequency rose to where it is today, most of us simply couldn't handle, accept, or even see the truth anyway. Even today, many people suffer, but are unwilling to look at the actions they took that brought that suffering upon them. When you release the untruths and detach from the drama, it's much easier to see the divinity in our fellow man. I understand, after all the lies we've lived with, this may seem strange, but when you start seeing things as they are, you also see that the strengths and weaknesses in the people around us are reflections of our own strengths and weaknesses. And we all want the same things, health, happiness, and security. Some choose security by surrendering their health and happiness. And when you're raised in fear, that makes sense. But as we lean into our strengths, we can see that security comes from happiness. And strangely, health seems to come from happiness as well. The next benefit of trusting yourself comes from accepting the nonsense around us is just that. The political drama is just theater. The disasters in health, wellness, and the environment are only disasters for the unprepared, the angry, and the scared. If you know the oceans are rising and the storms are getting worse, you can choose what to do about it. If you know that a massive earthquake is long overdue for the area you live, you can choose what to do. When you know the effects of different drugs or vaccines or toxins, you can decide your best course of action. No fear, no anger. It is knowledge and self-empowerment, and maybe even with a small amount of amusement. Every supposed assault is just another challenge, and most likely not even much of a challenge. Our work allows us to deal with energy and information. We can support or suppress patterns as we see fit. Even better, we can do this in the present, or at the inception point of the pattern, or at any other time we choose. If the pattern is too powerful today, simply find the time when it was less so. If a drug or toxin has damaged the DNA, simply find the undamaged template and use that energy. When Chernobyl was spewing radiation across Europe, the only places not affected by it were the biodynamic farms. The radiation maps show there was no increased radiation there. Study that, and you can see how, no matter how many chemtrails cross the sky, you don't have to worry. Raymond Grace teaches people how to move storms around a property. No reason to worry about the next hurricane or tornado or derecho. There are people that exist without eating food. Once you understand that, then even the most difficult nutritional issue becomes moot. And just as we've accepted more responsibilities as we stepped into this adulthood, all of us have had that same choice again. We can look around from an empowered and enlightened viewpoint, or from that of a victim. And of course there's victims around us, and of course terrible things happen. But it's not the terrible things that define us, it's our response to them. It really boils down to either being a passenger on this journey or the pilot. Being a passenger is easier. All you need do is follow orders and things will turn out as the people in charge want them to. Maybe that will mean you get exactly what you want, but more likely it means you're going to get exactly what someone else wants from you. You have one of the most powerful tools of empowerment that man has ever devised. Are you going to use it to address symptoms? Are you going to use it to address causes? Are you going to empower yourself or give your power away? I cannot tell you how exciting it is to be doing this work at this time. The only limits to our work are the ones between our ears. The enemy, or adversary, is not outside of us. Our only real enemy is the pile of limitations we've accepted as truths. Pull out your dowsing tools and ask how many falsehoods you believe to be true. If the answer is anything other than zero, you're now empowered to decide how you want to deal with that information. It's your journey and not mine, and I don't care what your answer is. There's only one person you have to answer to, and that's not me. If you believe a falsehood, is it in your best interest to find that lie and eliminate it? Is that lie holding you back in one way or another? And this is our journey. We're sharing this point in the path, but we each have our own destination. Part of my path is to share as many things that I can, and some of those things may be useful for you, others not so much, but that's my path. And years ago, I doused to see how many tasks were left on my soul mission, and that question helped me focus. It changed my perspective on some things that I thought were important. Now, it isn't that I don't care about the political drama. It isn't that the environmental disasters are not dire, and the rash of uncontrollable infections is a concern, as is the spread of hate and fear. But all of those things are just part of the growth process of humanity. We will either accept the challenges and grow to meet them, or we won't. If we don't, the universe will move on. Time will not end. Other species will evolve on this planet. In the eternal cycle, that's our reality. What we do matters very much to us, but not so much in the greater scheme of things. Which brings us back to one of the primary lessons of the last few years. Follow your heart and soul's desire and be happy, and everything else will work out for itself. And so we really go and we go back and we trust our intuition. And we trust our instrument to give us the answers that we're looking for. Let me go ahead and open the lines. Just, I heard from Ed Kelly, and we're starting to get the reservations in for our class that first part of April in Atlanta. And if you haven't made your reservation yet, you want to do that. So that's looking very promising. And the details are coming together for the Dowsers Convention in June in Plymouth, New Hampshire. And so that's certainly not going to be a radionics convention, but there should be a lot of really good and fun energy work going on there. And you can get a hold of those folks at www.dowsers.org. At this point, that's about the only things we have going on until the Rapid City conference in the fall. So, there may be some other classes that happen, but as of right now, those are the only ones we currently have on the docket. I had been asked about seeing about doing a class sometime in early June in the Michigan area, but I really haven't gotten any feedback yet as to whether that's going to be a go or not. So at this point, the Atlanta class is the big one to go with. If you've been following Facebook, there's a lady there that has a ag workstation on the radionics and radiesthesia page, and she's offering that workstation for $2,500 plus shipping out of Oregon. So if you're looking for a workstation, there's one out there. Other than that, things are just moving really, really well. We're having a lot of good times and seeing some amazing results out there. And with the full moon coming up on Wednesday, I'm going to be doing a couple small experiments just to see how that enhances or suppresses some of the different frequencies that I'm using. So lots of good stuff going on there. What's going on with you folks out in the big world of radionics?
Marty, what about the USPA conference in July?
I don't know if that's going to happen or not. There's been some bouncing around. If it happens, it will be virtual. But I have not been involved in any of the planning on that one, and don't have any feedback as to whether that's going to happen or not. It'd be nice if it did. I just got the news that just the last couple of 3 weeks, Dr. Bill Tiller passed, as did Tom Bearden.
Oh dear.
Anyway, somebody had a question? Question, comment? Yeah, without feedback, the calls get kind of short. So
don't hang up. Don't hang up. I have a question. I was totally shocked when you said that I heard this right. Are you saying the Titanic never sank?
It's actually a really interesting story. There were sister ships, the Titanic and the Britannic. They were identical. The Britannic was heavily damaged when it rammed a British warship, and it also had a fire in the coal bunkers that they were unable to put out. As near as the historians have been able to figure, right before the Titanic sailed, a crew went in and basically switched all the nameplates and switched all of the identification so that the Britannic would end up in the middle of the Atlantic and sink, and then they could make the insurance claim and the Titanic wouldn't, because the damage on the Britannic could not be repaired, and so that and since they couldn't get the fire put out in the coal bunker, that ship was pretty well doomed. And so that was their scheme, was to take it out in the Atlantic and sink it.
Interesting. So what I had heard was that there were three men going on the Titanic going to America that were that voted against the Federal Reserve. So it was Guggenheim and two others. And so basically what the conspiracy theory is that they sunk the Titanic to kill Guggenheim and the other two people that were against the Federal Reserve. Now, do you think that could be two different timelines?
No. I think that that was just a I think that a number of very rich and powerful people saw this as an opportunity, and so they killed several birds, so to speak, with one stone.
And so you think they actually...
There's no question that it was deliberately sunk.
So now were there people on there or not?
Oh, absolutely. Lots of people died.
But this
was about money.
Oh, I see. Okay, so now it's coming a little bit clearer, but I can't. So, in other words, at some point, they moved all the passengers off the Titanic onto the other ship.
Before the Titanic left dock, they basically switched the identities on the ship, and so the passengers got on what they thought was the Titanic, was actually the Britannic, and off they go.
So actually those three men actually were killed for that reason, along with the insurance. Okay, so now it's clear. I was thinking that my supposition, what I had heard and what you had said, couldn't work together, but they can. Yeah, okay,
yeah,
I see what you're saying
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. I think, you know, and again, that's one of the, you know, up until the Twin Towers, that was one of the largest insurance frauds of history, yeah? And part of the reason that it wasn't further investigated was that it was right on the eve of World War I, and the British Admiralty had no intention of undermining the Cunard Line because they needed the Cunard Line to be successful enough so that it was in business to haul troops and whatnot, and so it was just a large combination of a number of people that needed certain things, and some very rich people took advantage of that situation. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the insurance claims on the Twin Towers. I mean, here's a couple of towers that were getting close to the end of their useful life, clear full of asbestos. And nobody wants to deal with the issues of asbestos, and then suddenly, you know, now it's not a problem.
Hmm. Well, they also got the gold, and they also, it was multi-purpose, I think.
Absolutely. But again,
let's get it all.
when we start looking at, you know, at history, and we start, you know, one, history is always written by the winner. And, you know, whoever is writing it is going to write it for their advantage and their perspective. And so you start looking at all these things that we have been taught, and you realize, you know what, a whole bunch of this stuff just doesn't make a lot of sense. How many of these little wars that we've heard about for, you know, ever since we were kids, that, you know, the bad guys, the rebels, you know, go into the villages, they grab babies and then bash their heads against the trees. I mean, we hear about that. It's that exact same atrocity. I've heard it a dozen times throughout the different wars. You know, and that you think, okay, you think that's really happening, or is this just one of those atrocity stories that they know gets people very emotionally upset? And so instead of looking further, then I'll be angry and we will, you know, support this next coming war.
Well, I think humans are actually very stupid. But, you know, it might not be stupid. It might be, you know, the entrainment with the cell phones, blah, 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 you know. But I think in some way we want to think that other people are good. And then we can lead our lives. But if we actually thought that other people were evil, then we probably, I don't know this, I haven't bells on it, but we probably think that we're not strong enough to win against evil. Wow, I bet that is true. Oh, I'm going to bells on that. But
but see, isn't it, that's what's really cool.
And that
about
is true. Humans think that they are not, now I'm just, that was a quick bells, but I'm thinking that we think that we are not powerful to combat evil, so therefore we're not going to pick the fight. Now, if we thought we were stronger,
we've been taught that we are not powerful enough to combat evil. We are taught, from all of our religions, that that the only thing powerful enough to combat evil is a spiritual support.
What do you mean, spiritual support?
You call in, you call in the angels. You call in, whoever you pray to.
Yeah.
After all, humans are born in sin, et cetera, et cetera. But what makes this really cool, though, is that we're finally in a point of history where not only can we ask these questions, but we have the tools and the experience where when we can start getting some answers that we can start trusting. And so, I think part of what makes this so much fun is that right now we're asking forbidden questions that many of our peers, and I'd almost guarantee you that our parents and grandparents, would never have considered asking.
Yeah. Well, I think the vibrations on Earth are higher now, too. And, of course, we've lived through their experiences, so each generation supposedly gets smarter. I don't know.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that the vibration is changing, and I think part of what we're seeing in the angst and anger, of society are those that are changing with the vibration and those that are terrified to change with the vibration.
Because
if you really start to ask these questions, you start getting the answers, you pretty much have to walk away from many of the institutions that helped form this society.
Yeah.
Many of the things that we have been taught, this is the bedrock and all that, you start looking at it and going, that foundation is pretty rotten. Just like the foundation of virology, the foundation of studying virus is completely rotten.
Well, Pasteur faked all his. Oh, you said that. Faked all a lot of his experiments to say that what epidemics and stuff are caused by viruses and whatever. And now, do you think somebody is actually? Well, yes, it did. It worked very well. So do you think that Pasteur just decided that he wanted to be smarter than everyone else, even though he wasn't? Or do you think this is the cabal doing that?
I honestly believe that he got in and his ego got ahead of him, and at some point he could no longer accept. After he got some results that he thought were valid, he got in too deep and realized that he would have to start faking the stuff in order to, stay the savior of humanity. And so I think it was just an ego thing that pushed him ahead.
Okay.
And I'm sure there were some greed things and other things going on too. I mean, that goes without saying, but I think primarily it was ego. Because after the whole world has told you what a great man you are, how are you going to stand up and go, guys, I was wrong? Isn't that kind of what we're seeing with a certain Dr. Fauci right now?
No, I don't think so.
Well,
I think this is all.
That he's wrong, but
of course not. If he admitted he was wrong, then we would start listening to him and thinking he is wrong. So he can't admit it.
He is wrong. but it is not an indictment on him or anyone. It is simply that's where we are in society right now.
Well, the
level of consciousness of humanity has jumped ahead of the average level of consciousness of the institutions that support us. And you know what? If you're running at a level of consciousness of let's say 225, for instance, and the institution that you belong to is running at 195, it won't work. That's just completely incompatible. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, do some dowsing and check on the level of consciousness for, oh, I don't know, Congress? You know, for...
I don't have to douse for that.
Well, or, you know, and, you know, 200 is a level of basic honesty. You know, so you can say, okay, well, how about... You know, how about the First Church of the Open Wallet there in the corner of First and Elm, you know, and you can check the level of consciousness for that church. You go, geez, you know what? How about this or that? You just go right down the different institutions, and you'll see that it is a train wreck out there, because those institutions simply are not growing and they are falling apart because of it.
Yeah, but that's the plan. I mean, we have to bring our vibration up so that we will not be told what to believe, like what the churches do, what all religion does, because they want us to believe that so that they can become popular and say, with people coming in and whatever. But now Fauci, had millions of dollars worth of owning of the virology lab in Wuhan. So he is not an innocent little thing. And he's not stupid. For AIDS, he actually manufactured the AIDS. She actually took him to court, and he won. And so for 20 years, there was a gag order on her speech. So she couldn't come out and say anything about him, but so many years ago it was also she came out. But, I mean, he actually manufactured the AIDS virus and all the hype around it.
Gosh, imagine that.
But, you know, isn't it kind of interesting that we look how many people believe what he says?
Well, but look how many people don't. And that's probably one of the biggest changes. When he was pushing the ACT that killed so many of the people with HIV, nobody was questioning him. It was just simply one of those things that, you know, he is a, he's this great doctor, you know, and done all this great research, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so nobody was questioning him. And you know what? Now, a lot of people are questioning.
Well, you know, we've been trained to believe our parents, then the judges, then the doctors. So there are people that, even though they're liars, we tend to believe them because of their, being... vaulted above us.
Well, you know, it goes back to, you know, we've given away our power to the experts for generations. That's how we were taught.
Yeah. I've never heard it said that way, but that's true.
Yeah, and now those of us that are pushing ahead are not giving away our power anymore. And that is very uncomfortable for those that want us to give away our power. But it's even more uncomfortable for the people that are too afraid to take their own power. You know, when you walk out there, and I don't care which of the latest dramas that, you know, and how you fall on it one way or the other, but, when you stand up and go, hey, this is what it looks like it is, you know, you've got a whole bunch of people that attack you because they are terrified you might be right.
Well, you know, isn't that peer review?
What's that?
Isn't that peer review? You know, if somebody comes up with a new idea, they have peer review about the idea.
Well,
and, you know, everybody wants to think they're right, so then the next person that thinks differently could not possibly be right. So how many experiments and true knowledge have been poo-pooed and kept from coming forward because everybody wants to think they're right even though they're out of touch with reality now? You know, it's like a timely thing.
Yeah, ain't it cool? it's just a very interesting time that we're living in. I think that's why it is so exciting that we have these tools and that we can empower ourselves and move forward. You know, we're not at the mercy of anybody. And we certainly don't have to worry about this particular vaccine or that particular toxin or this particular chemtrail. You know what? All it is just energy and information. That's what we deal with, is energy and information. And if it's a problem,
I know, but
we deal with it.
Yes, but so how are you dealing with the chemtrails?
The chemtrails? Again, think about how the biology in the soil is able to transmute toxins into nutrients. Since the biology in the soil is already able to transmute toxins into nutrients, then if we support that biology, then any toxins that are coming out of the sky are simply going to get neutralized, just like what happened to the radiation in Europe over the biodynamic farms.
That was an interesting thing. So let's see if I understand this right. So, okay, so now there's chemtrail going over my house. Okay, so I did do biodynamic. I don't do it so much now, but I did do it. But, the soil would transmute whatever's in the chemtrails. And so then I, as a farmer on that particular farm, would be immune? How is that?
Eating
the vegetables or something. How does that work?
Well, again, life supports life. So as you empower the life in the soil, it empowers the life in the crops, which then empowers, you know, whatever is living off those crops.
Oh, so then you would eat it, or even maybe they would create a field.
And certainly there'd be as those toxins hit the soil, you know, they're simply taken care of. So as the toxins, you know, that are coming out of the chemtrails are hitting the soil, you know, the soil is simply dealing with them. You know, and so when it hits the water, you know, the biology that's in the soil gets into the biology that's in the water, solves the problem.
Mm.
So once we start looking at it that way, you know, then we step into our power, and it's no longer, oh my gosh, what do I have to do? What's happening? It is, okay, you know, it's not a big thing, it's just another thing. And so you deal with that thing and you go to the next one.
Well, I think also it's co-creating with the earth and taking care of the earth the way we should. We've kind of lost that art.
Well, that goes back to the biodynamics again, doesn't it?
Yeah. Huh. You know, 10,
right.
10, 10 doesn't work.
That's right. There is not a chemical solution to a biological problem. All right. Any other comments or anybody else want to join us tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, Marty, have you ever heard of Dr. Judy Wood?
The name doesn't ring a bell. What work does she do?
She has a website, drjudywood.com, and she claims the Twin Towers were basically destroyed by scalar energy devices. She has a book out. I don't have the book, but I've looked at her website a couple of times over the past few years.
I've heard scalar weapons, you know, the firefighters that were on the ground, the ones that were watching the fire, you know, recognized the smoke coming off of them as smoke from high explosives. That was,
but if
you know, that
you take a look at her website, she claims that the Twin Towers were basically dustified. They were not exploded; they were dustified. In other words,
truckloads of dust away from. Yeah, I think that might be true.
And that doesn't happen with explosives.
No, it does not. At least not with the explosives that we typically work with. But again, you know, whether it was a scalar weapon, whether it was advanced military munitions or whatever, it sure wasn't an airplane, and it wasn't airplane fuel.
Right.
Yeah, and so, you know, what the truth is, I'm not sure that any of us are going to want to spend the time and effort to find out what the truth actually is. But the point is, once we recognize that what has been shoved at us is a lie, then we can decide, you know, whether or not you know, we want to be part of that lie. And so you look at that lie and go, nope, not going to play that one. You know, and we start looking at all the other lies that are around us and go, you know what? It's absolutely a sign. This is what's happening in society as we're growing up. All of these lies are now becoming too obvious to ignore. And if we choose to ignore them, then we're not going to graduate. But if as a society we choose to deal with them properly, then we've got a chance. You know, it was kind of interesting. I had a posting about the warming of the oceans is releasing the methane that's trapped in the sediment, and the scientists are very concerned with that because the methane that's coming out is not only a very powerful greenhouse gas, but now that it started to release, they don't know, you know, they think we've already crossed over the tipping point. And so I had a post and I said, hey, if this is the tipping point, then, you know, we can expect this and this and this and this and this. And the one response I got was, well, that's kind of a gloomy way to look at things. You need to be more cheerful. No, it's a matter of cheerful or gloomy. You know, it's a matter of this is what the science is showing us. hate to break it to you, you know, that's the science part.
You know? Yeah. It's sad, really.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, you know what? This has been kind of an interesting call, and I'm glad that we did it. You know, we're going to be back in a couple weeks. Oh my gosh, it's going to be the 28th of February when we have our next 5 ACES call. In the meantime, you know, get the word out about that class in Atlanta. If you can't go, tell your friends about it that want to go, because we'd really like that to be a nice big class. We've got some special things that we'd like to share there. So. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure and an honor, as always. Keep smiling and dialing, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.